Luke chapter 1. It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, Mary. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, that is Gabriel the angel, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation that this is. And the angel said unto her, Fear not. Everybody say, Fear not. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and you're going to bring forth a son, Mary, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Or that means, Here I am your servant, God. I'm your servant. Behold, I'm your handmaiden. I'm your servant. Be it unto me, God, do what you want with me. According to thy word, according to thy will. And then the angel departed from her. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather this special day today. Remembering, Jesus, that you came to seek and to save the lost. Lord Jesus, you ultimately came here to this earth to be an example to us, but more so to die for our sins. And we thank you for that today. We give you all the glory and all the honor. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is the wonderful account of the Christmas story right here. I want to focus on the words that you read and we highlighted as we read verse 30. When the angel said to Mary, the angel said, Fear not, Mary. Don't fear. And today I want to speak on this simple title, Fear Not. Fear Not. Three different times in the Christmas story, when angels appeared to people, the angels said these two words. They said, Fear Not. The words were spoken, as we read in our text, to the Virgin Mary, when the angel said, Fear Not. The words were also spoken to Joseph when the angel spoke to Joseph and he said, Joseph, fear not. And when the angel spoke to the shepherds who were in the field, the angel said to the shepherds, he said, fear not. And so I believe God would say to us today, fear not. We have no reason to fear. You see, the reality is, and we're truly honest today, we can sit here And we often look our best, but we often have good intentions. But there are lots of people that have a fear of what God has planned for them. A fear. I guess you could say it's a fear of the unknown. God, if I surrender my life completely to you, what would happen? What would happen? What would my life be like if I surrendered completely to you? And because of that, a lot of people have fear of what God has planned for them. And very likely, that's why the angel spoke to Mary and said, Mary, I'm about to tell you something that's going to scare you. It's going to baffle you. You're not going to understand it, but it's going to be great. And before I can even tell you, Mary, I've got to reassure you, fear not. You can't fear because I've got the greatest plan for your life, Mary. Joseph, I've got a plan for your life. Fear not. Sometimes people treat God like that annoying person who always wants something from them. Has anyone ever met someone like that? The only time they ever call you or come and see you is when they want something. You don't have to raise your hand. But you know, whenever you see that person calling, you know, like, oh my goodness, they want something. And you just know that they're there or they're calling because they want something. So what you tend to do is you tend to just let the call just go to voicemail. They'll send a text. Just ignore the call. And you see, this is what happens with Christians very often, is that when God wants to use them, they know that God wants something from them, so they try to ignore it. As it were, they just let the call of God go through to voicemail. They just let it go through to the messages because they want to get close enough to God to get the blessings. They want to get close enough to God to inherit the promise of heaven. But they don't want to be surrendered completely to God because then God would have access to every area of their life. Why? Why do people have this fear? Because they say, if I'm completely surrendered to God, God may make me give up something I enjoy. And that's true. God may make you give up something you enjoy, but he will only give you something that will truly satisfy. You see, we fill our lives full of things to try and satisfy us, trying to fill that hole in our heart, trying to fill that void right there. And we say, God, but if I surrender to you, you may make me change something that I enjoy. You may make me give up something that I really enjoy, but I want to tell you today, God has a plan for your life. And yes, you may have to give up some things that you enjoy, but God will give you something that will truly satisfy your heart. Praise God. You know, I hope I'm speaking to real people today, that you know what I'm talking about. You know that fear and you want to be surrendered to God completely, but you're just like, well, God, what's it going to be like? What's going to change? And I know I'm speaking to real people, but if that's not you today, if you can't relate with what I'm talking about, then you just stay there and polish your halo while I preach, okay? I hope I'm speaking to real people. Sometimes there's this sense of fear. When I give him my all, what happens if life doesn't go the way I want it to go? And fear can overwhelm and can overtake us. While many could say that this fear is a lack of faith, they could say, well, if you're fearful of God's will, then obviously you've got a lack of faith and you've got a lack of trust. And that could be so. It could be so that if you're fearful of God's plan, that it could be a lack of faith and it could be a lack of trust. But have you ever thought that, listen carefully, that fear is actually faith? Fear is actually faith. It's faith in the wrong things. You could say that fear is faith in the what ifs of life. Oh, but what if this happened? You see, some people, they don't go on picnics and they don't go on barbecues because what if it rains? And you see, they've got perfect faith that it's going to rain. What if it rains? They've got perfect faith, and there's children that have their fears in the middle of the night, and their fears are something. It's faith in something that's not there. Faith in the wrong things. And so fear is actually faith. It's just faith in the wrong things. It's faith in the what ifs. Fear is placing our faith in the worst case scenario. And many people have that sort of faith that results in a fear, a faith in the worst case scenario. And it's a fear that drives them to an irrational panic. But I've got good news for you today. 2 Timothy 1:17 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We don't have to fear. And so if God is speaking to you lately about something in your life, if God is speaking to you about some changes in your life, I want to tell you today that you do not have to fear. You may have to give some things up that you enjoy, but God's going to give you something that will truly satisfy your heart. Fear not. And so God had a plan for Mary's life. It was a daunting plan. So why is it that we're afraid of God's plans? There could be a lot of answers to that question. But I just want to give you two based on the story of Mary. You see, the first one is, and we go to slide number 6, when God interrupts us, his interruptions are often very inconvenient. Normally when God intervenes in our life, we're doing something, we're busy about something, and God comes and interrupts our life. How many people have had their life interrupted by God? Yeah? Yeah. There's people here, they were drinking, smoking, drugs, addicted, all those sort of things, stealing stuff, and one day God come along and interrupted their life. And they were ready for it. But very often when it comes to God's plans, people are fearful because the interruptions of God are often very inconvenient. And we see this in the life of Mary. I hope you've got your Bible open. But in verse 26, it says, in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, boom, an angel appears. Now, we often think of angels with fluffy feathers, dressed in white, with a halo and wings. But that's not what angels look like in the Bible. They were fierce. They were warlike creatures. They were able to strike down a nation at God's command. Yet they were submissive enough to go and care for a newborn baby. And so this angel is one of two that is named in the Bible, and it's the angel Gabriel and the archangel. And we see Gabriel in this story. He appears to Mary, and in verse 27, it says that she's a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. He was from the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and interrupted her and said, "Hail," or "Greetings, favored woman." Hail, thou art highly favored. Greetings, thou favored woman. That's a nice and polite angel, isn't it? Greetings. The Lord is with you. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind, she said, "What on earth is going on? I'm seeing an angel." Mary's scared. How many people think if an angel came and spoke to you that you would be scared? Yeah? Now, let's just think about it a little bit. Some call it the backstory. What was going on? What was going on in her mind? What was going on in Mary's life? We don't know how old she is. We learned from Sister Kim that most likely she was very young. The reason we can know that is because in their culture at the time, once a girl would hit the age of maturity or puberty, she would be promised or betrothed or to be married to somebody. And so there is Mary. She's engaged. Now, engagement is exciting, isn't it? When you get engaged, I see girls just go crazy when they get engaged. All excited. She's a young bride and she's probably searching Pinterest already, you know. All the things she wants for a wedding and the dress and all of the table layouts and what she's going to do on the invites. And she's going through Pinterest and she's got a subscription to Australian Wedding Magazine or whatever it's called these days. She's excited. Most likely she's sitting in church sometimes practicing signing her name with her new husband's signature, you know. How many ladies did that? Maybe she's thinking about the names of her future children and what she's going to call her kids. And she's so excited and everything's going great. And then suddenly God comes and interrupts her life. And the reason many of us are fearful of God's plan is because his interruptions are often very inconvenient. God, don't you see I'm engaged? Don't you see the plan is all set? It's incredibly inconvenient. She has her future mapped out. How inconvenient of this angel to come. And what can we learn from this? We can learn this thing. A very important principle is that what we call interruptions, God often sees as invitations. What we call interruptions, God sees as invitations. The times we feel like God is interrupting us, He is actually inviting us to a higher level. He's saying, come on, my child, I want to take you a little bit further. I want to take you a little bit higher. I want to give you something better. I want to give you true fulfillment. And so His interruptions are actually invitations. We see this all through Scripture. Moses was interrupted by a burning bush. He interrupted Moses' regular day with a burning bush, and he said, Moses, I want to invite you to come and be the deliverer to God's people. Noah got thrown overboard and he was swimming to the shore, and I don't know, he's having a workout or something like that. But then this big fish came and interrupted him and invited him to go back to Nineveh and preach repentance to Nineveh. An interruption. In the New Testament, Saul, who was killing the Christians at the time, was on the road to Damascus, and a light come from heaven and interrupted him on the road to Damascus and called him to be one of the greatest preachers that has ever walked this earth, to take the gospel to the Gentiles. I encourage you, stop seeing interruptions as problems and see interruptions from God as invitations to something higher, to something better, to something more fulfilling. But I tell you, fear not, God has a plan. God has a plan. God wants to take you somewhere new. He wants to take you somewhere different. He wants to do something special that you could not even predicted yourself. If we think about it this morning, and some people talked about how their life was interrupted, they raised their hand. But all of our testimonies here of where God has brought us from are testimonies of interruptions. Are you thankful to God this morning that while you thought you were living the best life you could possibly live, God came in and interrupted you and invited you to something better? If you're thankful for that this morning, why don't you put your hands together and say, thank you, Jesus. And so the angel says, fear not. The second reason why we're often fearful is because God's purpose is totally different to our plans. Totally different. His purpose for us is so different than what we plan for ourselves. In verse 31 it says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The angel then reveals the plan of God. He reveals God's purpose for Mary's life. God says, you're going to be the mother of the Son of God. Can you imagine the swinging emotions? Like, initially just blown away. My goodness. Number one, an angel. Number two, that I'm going to give birth to a son named Jesus, and he's going to be the Son of the Highest, and he's going to inherit the throne of his father David, and his kingdom's going to have no end. Wow. I've been chosen for this, to be the mother of the Son of God, to be the mother of God in flesh. Wow. But then can you imagine the emotions swinging the other way? Oh, no. I'm engaged, and what are the people going to say? Pregnant out of wedlock, that's punishable by stoning. That's punishable by death. But then the emotions swing back the other way. Wow, I can't believe it. I just can't wait to tell Joseph, and then swing back the other way. Oh no, what's Joseph going to think? Can you imagine the feelings going on inside of her? How would the conversation with Joseph go? Hey, Joe, I hope you're sitting down. I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. One reason why we're fearful is because God's purpose is often very different than ours. His purpose for us is so different. It's much different than anything we could have even planned for ourselves. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so God's purposes are higher than our purposes. His plans are higher than our plans. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I'm not sure how the will of God is going to play out for each of you, but let me tell you, when God interrupts you, He's inviting you to something else. And you're going to discover very quickly that His purposes are very different than any plans you have for your life. But I want to reassure you that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. You don't have to fear. Praise God. Amen. God has plans to bless you, Jeremiah 29 says. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and to give you a future, an expected end. And so every now and then, what you might call an interruption, God from His perspective calls it an invitation to something higher. Then Mary said to the angel in verse 34, "How shall this be, since I know not a man?" She responds back and says to the angel, "How on earth can this happen? I'm supposed to give birth and I'm a virgin. I've known no man. I'm a virgin. It's impossible. Angel, in fact, it's not just impossible, it's beyond impossible. It's completely absurd. It defies biological possibilities. It defies science. It defies all of those things." And what's Mary doing right here? She said, "I'm a virgin. Virgins don't give birth." Next point I want to make is that when God interrupts you, it's time to have faith and not fear. Faith. There will be a time for all Christians, and God is going to interrupt you with an invitation to something different. He's going to speak to you and call you higher. He's going to call you deeper. Whatever it is, God has a plan. And He wants you to have faith and not fear. Mary, fear not. I'm going to use you. You're going to look at it and say, "God, what you're asking me to do is impossible. God, you're asking me to forgive somebody that has hurt me. That's impossible. God, you're going to ask me to trust you and to be generous. I don't have very much, God, right now, but you're asking me to trust you and you're going to take care of me. I don't see how that's possible. God, there is no way that I could have a good marriage again. My marriage is gone. It's impossible. God, there is no way that I could be reconciled again with my children. It just seems impossible." But God is calling us, do not fear, but have faith in what God is calling you to do. Trust God above everything else. So she said, "It's impossible." And the angel said, "But the Holy Spirit will come upon you." Mary, this isn't a job for people. This is a God-sized job. You're not going to be able to do this on your own. It's a God-sized job. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Verse 37 says, "For nothing is impossible with God." And so if you're facing an obstacle, all you need to know is that nothing is impossible with God. What may be impossible with man is absolutely and completely possible with God. He is all-knowing. He is ever-present. He is all-powerful. One spoken word by God, God can intervene in any situation. I've come to tell you today, fear not. Trust God. As we look into 2016, it's time to put our fear aside and put our faith into action. To trust God. What's He calling you to do? What's He impressing on your heart? We've got to trust Him above everything else and have faith in Him. And some of us, we're already thinking about it. God's already been speaking to you about it. I'm just the confirmation that it's coming to say to you, stop resisting what God's calling you to do. He's leading you. He wants to direct you. Stop resisting. Maybe over the coming days, you need to pray and say, God, what is it? I've been so busy about all this other stuff. I've been so consumed with my lot in life and my plans. But God, I want to surrender to you and say, God, I want your plans to be my plans. I want the things you love to be the things that I love. I want the things that you pursue to be the things that I pursue. And so the angel puts this opportunity right in front of her. And God puts opportunities in front of us. And look how Mary responds. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary responded, I'm the Lord's servant. Who am I to argue with you, God? Who am I to try and come up with a better plan? This is who I am. I am the Lord's servant. And may everything you have said about me come true. Have your way in my life, God. I am your servant. The first thing she says, I am the Lord's servant. I am at your mercy, God. Who am I? You are Lord. You are God. She reminds herself who she is and who she's not. She said, I belong to the King of Kings. He is my Lord and I am called to serve him. I don't understand. I can't figure it out. I know it's going to cost me something. It's probably going to be harder than I can ever imagine. But I am the Lord's servant and I can trust him. You see, when God calls you to do something, we worry about the outcome. But the outcome is God's problem. Obedience is ours. We're not called to worry about the outcome. We're called to be obedient. When God calls you to do something, when God speaks into your life and calls you to another level, when God puts his purpose and outlays his purpose for your life, we're not called to worry about how it's going to end up. That's God's problem. God's going to take care of the outcome. You've just got to worry about, God, I just want to be obedient to you. I am your servant, God. I have no fears about your plans, God, because I'm your servant. And so maybe God is interrupting you today. Maybe this interruption is very inconvenient. I had 2016 planned out. I had my life all planned out. It's so inconvenient. But I'm calling you today to respond like Mary, to fear not, and to remember who we are. I am the Lord's servant. His ways are higher than my ways. His purposes are higher than my plans. His thoughts are greater than I could ever imagine. And we can learn so much from this simple Christmas story. Fear not. Fear not, Mary. I'm going to use you. Trust me. I know it seems like an interruption. I know you're excited about getting married. I know it's going to take some shame and some people are going to think some things about you. But just trust me. Don't fear. And Joseph, I got a plan for you as well. You're part of this. Joseph, I don't want you to fear. Angels, don't fear. Come, follow the star. Don't fear. And I've got to tell everybody here today on the 25th of December 2015, Christmas Day, that we must not fear. We've got to put our faith in God and to trust him. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. As you leave this place, I want you to leave with two words on your mind. As you start thinking about what the new year is going to hold, I want to encourage you that we must not fear. God spoke this word into my heart, not to fear. And there's some things that a pastor might fear in 2016, like a building program. Can be quite fearful. What does it hold? But I'm not going to fear. I'm just going to trust God. I want to walk in his ways. I want to walk in his will. And yes, I might have to give up some things that I enjoy, but God's going to give me something that truly satisfies us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you have plans for us. Lord, that you have plans to prosper us. We thank you, Lord, that if we love you, the Bible says that all things shall work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Lord Jesus, I pray that these two words would go with us as we go into the rest of our day, as we go into the remainder of this year. Help us, oh God, to embrace your plan for our life, to embrace your purpose for our life. And Lord, whatever you're speaking to us about, you're interrupting our lives and speaking to us about changes that need to take place in our life, oh God, help us to have faith in you. Help us to put our trust in you, and we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you greet each other? It's 10 a.m. Praise God. Have a lovely day.